Track 6. The Sports Desk would like to begin this week by offering its congratulations to the Mercedes Formula One driver Lewis Hamilton for winning this year's Formula One World Championship, his fourth in all, a total only ever surpassed by those legendary drivers Juan Fangio and Michael Schumacher. But it was a relieved Hamilton who achieved the title after finishing only in ninth place in Sunday's Mexican Grand Prix. He struggled throughout the race after a collision on the very first lap with the Ferrari of Sebastian Vettel, his rival in the race to be number one this season. Hamilton had begun the race in third place on the starting grid and was immediately in contention with the two leading cars, the Red Bull of Verstappen and Vettel's red Ferrari. Those two clipped one another. Hamilton thought he saw a gap to overtake both, but before he could complete that move, at the next bend the Ferrari and the Mercedes had a coming together. Both drivers had to limp all the way round to the pits for repairs, and by the time Hamilton got back into the race, he found himself in last place. He knew that he needed to finish no worse than fifth if Vettel was to win, but Hamilton endured a long struggle to catch up with the tail of the race, and even suffered the indignity of being lapped by the leaders. But he hung on, determined, and an eventual ninth place was his reward. Meanwhile, Vettel himself had found it impossible to catch the leaders, and fourth place was all he was able to manage, ensuring that Lewis Hamilton, who'd started the race with a 66-point lead in the Drivers' Championship, was no longer within reach, with only two more Grand Prix before the season ends. Turning to the local sports headlines, Stourbridge's soccer and rugby teams were involved in narrow squeaks on Saturday before bringing home the bacon. At least, that's how it seems from the Glasboys' 1-0 victory in the first round of this season's FA Trophy competition against Basford from the Evosteek League South, and it was certainly the case in the rugby club's win against Sedgley Park. Glasboys, the soccer team, were badly in need of a win after three consecutive defeats prior to Saturday's match, and their fans turning up for this match may have been rubbing their eyes in an attempt to recognise some of the players wearing a Glasboys shirt. Yes, there had been quite a few comings and goings amongst the playing personnel, manager Gary Hackett having gone public in the local press last week about the need for new blood. Stourbridge may be in a higher league than these opponents, but it took a while for them to assert any authority, and an hour had passed before Aaron Ford scored the only goal of the match. 1-0 is never a very safe environment. The visitors did hit the bar with an effort in the dying minutes, but Stourbridge held on and have been drawn away from home for their pains against St Neots in the second qualifying round. But it was back into league action last night, Tuesday, when the team took the short trip to play Sutton Coldfield. This appears to have been a stunning return to form by Glasboys, who recorded a 4-0 victory, their biggest away win of the season up to now. I have not been able to get my hands on a report of last night's action yet, but this big win was a real tonic after two or three weeks when the team's performances and results have been a disappointment. But the action falls thick and fast now with a home fixture against Witton Albion on Saturday and a trip to play Nantwich Town next Tuesday. Hope I'll have some more good news about those encounters on next week's news. Unfortunately, Halesowen Town departed in the first round of the FA Trophy qualifying competition on Saturday, dumped away 1-0 at Grantham Town, the team who the week before visited Stourbridge in the league and defeated them as well, 2-0 in that case. Grantham have a lot to answer for. At Stourton Park, Stourbridge Rugby faced their sternest test of the season so far when Sedgley Park, from around the Manchester area, provided the opposition. This was first place in League Two North versus third, the meanest defence in the league, Stourbridge's, against the highest point-scoring attack. Defence just narrowly overcame in a thrilling 33 points to 31 victory for the home side. The match was as stirring, as highly contested as that scoreline suggests. The home side were 5 points to the good within the very first 60 seconds of the match, a breakout and passing move down the right wing bringing a score in the corner that was not converted. But if the home side thought that was going to herald an afternoon of comfortable superiority, they were soon disabused. Sedgley quickly equalised that try, and when the home side added their second, that was quickly cancelled out as well. Stourbridge did then manage a period of superior territorial and ball possession and scored twice more to head off at half-time, leading by 26 points to 12. But if they had won the first half, they lost the second, Another bout of tit-for-tat try-scoring made it 33-19 to the home side, but Sedgley refused to admit defeat, scored another well-taken try to again reduce the deficit to 7 points, and when they notched their fifth try of the match, which, thankfully from a home perspective, was not converted, they were only 2 points behind on the scoreboard. By that stage, there must have been a good 10 minutes left on the clock, and that strength in defence of the Stourbridge pack I mentioned earlier was never more required. But they mastered the art of keeping possession of the ball, gradually eased the focus of play up the field, and when, after a line-out, they punted the ball into touch for the referee to blow his final whistle, the cry went up from the home crowd was as much one of relief as of congratulation. Definitely the team's severest test of the season to date, but thanks to results elsewhere on Saturday, they now sit 11 points clear of their closest rivals at the head of League 2 North, 9 matches unbeaten and a bonus point added after scoring 4 or more tries in each game. But the fixture list was kind to the club in the early weeks of the season when they played the lower-ranked teams and matches against the 3 or 4 other clubs who expect to have a say in the promotion battle this season now follow rapidly one after another. The coming weekend brings a visit to Sheffield Tigers, whose home ground is a windswept moorland high above that city, where, in contrast to the weather, the action is likely to be hot. I am not making this trip this time, but I hope to have a full report on next week's news. On Saturday, the Stourbridge Lions, the amateur rugby side who share the facilities at Stourton Park, achieved their first points away from home thanks to a 17-all draw at Worcester, and this encounter seems to have been every bit as tight and tense as that involving the main Stourbridge team against Sedgley Park. Lions scored a try under the posts in the dying seconds to snatch a draw and stun their hosts. Just along the road at Heathbrook, Dudley King's Winford Rugby won as well on Saturday, there in the same league as Stourbridge Lions, making it a very good day all round for our local clubs. Coming back to soccer for a minute, the highlight of the weekend for local fans would have been the Birmingham City versus Aston Villa clash in the Championship on Sunday. They may have been anticipating it with relish, but I doubt if many left the ground satisfied on Sunday with what they'd seen. This proved a turgid, unenterprising display as neither side wanted to take a risk, and the result, a goalless draw, says it all. Also in the Championships, Wolves' run right at the top of the league table came to an end when they lost 2-1 at Queen's Park Rangers, and their position at the top was taken over by Sheffield United, who were only promoted into this division this season and are looking at this admittedly early stage as though they may go through on up to the Premier League. And in the Premier League, our only local representatives, West Brom, were entertaining the top dogs, Manchester City, on Saturday and lost by 3-2. As I said last time, the Baggies are slowly sinking down the rankings in the league table at present. I've been managing to find a bit of tennis news to brighten up these late autumn days, and the latest is of our 22-year-old Briton, Kyle Edmund, who reached the semi-final of the ATP event in Vienna last week. On the way to that stage, he had had a notable victory over the Spaniard David Ferrer in an earlier round, but he met his match in the final against Luc Appuy, the Frenchman ranked 18th in the world. Edmund took the first set on a tiebreak, but lost the next two. And Edmund is still looking to achieve his first final in a main ATP tournament, but having reached the Vienna semis, he's moved up to the position of 50th in the world rankings. With the now naturalised Briton Alias Bedene at number 47, and Annie Murray still in third place despite his long injury layoff, Great Britain is in the position of having 3 men in the world top 50. Thoughts of cricket also enlighten these dark evenings, none more so than when England are touring Australia. The squad, under the captaincy of Joe Root, have already departed England, and their opening tour match against Western Australia starts this coming weekend. Of course, the furore surrounding Ben Stokes has not been resolved. He was named as part of the squad but has not travelled with the rest of the party, while the possibility of a court case following his alleged assault of a man outside a nightclub after a one-day match last September still hangs over his head. He will be a huge miss if he's not available once the Test series starts, the first match of which is due in Brisbane on the 23rd of November, a little more than 3 weeks away. The wheels of justice in the case of Stokes do seem to be grinding exceeding slow. but I should be able to bring news of the opening tour match, which is only a two-day loosener, on next week's news. More news of our local soccer and rugby teams next week, as well as early news of England's cricketers in Australia. We're also nearly round to the autumn international rugby matches, when the Southern Hemisphere teams visit these shores. These begin the weekend after this, and I'll be keeping a close eye. But that's all the sport this time, so until next week, it's goodbye from Brian Gall.